Good morning. It's good to be here in God's house. As Dan said, my name is Scott Ritsema. I'm the ministry director for Badgerland Youth for Christ. I've been doing that now for about 6 years. Before that, I did the high school ministry in town here. And when I first started, myself and my boss were the only full-time staff people that we had. That was it. 16 years ago. Our budget was under $100,000. And since those 16 years, God has been faithful, and he has blessed us. We have at least five full-time staff people right now. We have about six part-time, and we are in every middle school, in Fond du Lac, sharing the gospel. We're in the high school in Fond du Lac. We have a volunteer director so that all those middle schools can be run voluntarily, and we have support for them to be able to do that ministry. Here in town, you guys have been a huge part of helping our ministry at the Union Youth Center, and we're looking for a high school director here in town. We're looking for someone who's willing to go and meet kids where they're at, love them well, and share the gospel with them. However, we do have a building director who you guys know, and she's doing a great job with our building and using that as a ministry tool. So even though we don't have that high school campus life director here in town, we're still doing ministry in town. We're still reaching out to kids. We're still sharing Jesus with them. In Beaver Dam, we have the high school and the middle school ministry in Beaver Dam. But we also have a jail ministry that we do both in West Bend and in Fond du Lac. And we cover six different counties with that jail ministry. And recently, I had the privilege to go in with our assistant JJM director, our jail minister. And I'm meeting with these kids, and you can just see not only how hard they are, but how hurt and how lost they are as well. And when I was 19, I was incarcerated in that jail. And that's where God met me, in that jail. And that's where all my knowledge and everything that I knew about Christianity took root, was laying in that cell by myself. And so while I was meeting with these kids, it was amazing because God just laid everything out. And one of the harder kids who had the most time, he looked at me and he said, "You ever been in jail?" And I said, "Yep. In fact, this exact one." He says, "Really? What did you do? And like, what happened?" And so I told him, "But when God opens the door, you walk through it." And so I looked at him with a captive audience of eight of these incarcerated kids and said, "Yes, I was here, but this is where my life turned around. And this is where Jesus met me, and this is where my faith became real." And I would encourage you all to do that again. And one of the kids is like, "I've never been to church ever in my life, but I'm curious." And it was just part of a crack of a door so that we can share the gospel in that jail cell. And then we also have our parenting ministry, and that's in Fond du Lac. And that basically is meeting young parents. We have had kids in that ministry who have found out that they are expecting a child in the seventh grade. In the seventh grade, they realized that they were going to become a mom and a dad. We have a great relationship with the school where we're actually to go in and actually can do classes with those parenting teams. And we can invite them to our group at our center in Fond du Lac and share the gospel with them and equip them and to love them the way that Jesus did. And so, when I got invited to ask, Dan said, "Make sure you talk about our ministry." I said, "That's not a problem." I love talking about what God is doing with Youth for Christ, and I love the direction that we're going as an organization as well, and I want to thank you for your investment into this ministry too. Sometimes we don't necessarily see, we're going to talk about that this morning, but sometimes we don't necessarily see the fruit, but we have to plant the seed. And so thank you for that. And one of the other things too I wanted to mention real quick is that when I first started ministry, a lot of the kids, they kind of knew a little bit about the gospel. Just in the past 16 years, most of the kids, they don't know. And I was sharing one of the stats with the prayer team up here this morning. The stats right now with churched youth. So this isn't the kids that we work with. With church youth, 70% of kids who attend church while growing up, after they graduate, leave the church. 70% leave the church. That's a heavy number for me. Now, some of them, once they get families and stuff like that, some of them do trickle back. Some of them don't. And I feel like it's our job to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and make sure that we're loving the way that he loves us. So this morning, I titled the message, Got Fruit. And a while back, there was a national commercial that said, Got Milk. And I'm sure most of you are very familiar with this. And it was a huge thing by the dairy industry to basically say, hey, if you want to be healthy, drink milk. Drink milk. And this morning, I feel like this passage, more than just about anything else, I mean, everything complements our faith, but this passage for me is very convicting on what I need to do to be able to be healthy as a follower of Jesus. Anyone can say, I'm a Christian. And we can go through the motions. But there's a big difference between saying that you're a Christian and actually following Jesus. And for me, this is one of the most convicting passages. So I chose the RSV version, and the reason why I did is just there's a word in there that speaks very well for me. So if you want to click over to the next slide, I'll have the passage. You can click it once more. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servants does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. That's God's word. Let me pray for us before we continue the message. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we understand that any time that we want to hear from you, we live in a nation where we can just open up our Bibles and hear from you. Because your word does not return void. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Lord, bless the people of Trinity Reformed Church and help us to be able to be your hands and feet in our community and in the people that we connect with. Bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm kind of going to break this down into three different parts. We're going to talk about the vine dresser, who is God the Father. We're going to talk about the vine, which is Jesus, and some of the significance that goes into that. And then we're going to talk about the branch, and we're going to talk about us. And so first I want to unpack the vine dresser, which is God the Father. And one of the things is, as I was researching this, I looked at just what it took to be a vine dresser. And for us that live in Wisconsin, we have a lot of annual crops, corn and soybeans and stuff like that, where you plant them in the spring and you harvest them in the fall. But as I was researching like what it took to produce grapes and what it took to take care of a vineyard, what I realized is that it takes sometimes decades. Because grapes continue to produce from year to year to year. And the vine dresser, someone who's in charge of that, has to get to know how to produce fruit off of those vines. And he gets to know or has a relationship with each of those vines. And it's cool that we have a father who identifies as the vine dresser because he gets to know us as well. And we're all created differently. And just like with the vines, when the vine dresser is going along the trellises, he's looking to see, okay, which ones here aren't producing fruit? Where do I need to prune so that this will produce more fruit? And which ones need to have fertilizer here? And which ones need to be protected by the insects here? And it speaks to me as far as life, because we all have different stuff that we're going through. We all have different things in our lives, different junk in our lives, and yet we have a loving Father that cares for us and wants to spend a lifetime with us to get us to know us more intimately so that we can produce more fruit and we can be closer to Him. One of the coolest things that gave me just a great word picture, too, when I was researching the vine dresser, is that if the vine dresser is walking alongside the trellises and he sees that one of the vines has actually fallen off the trellis and is in the dirt and in the mud, a good vine dresser will reach down, pick that vine up, and attach it back on. And for us, I don't know about some of you, but there's been times in my life where I felt like I've been in the dirt. I felt like I've been on the ground. And it's a comfort for me knowing that I have a loving Father that in that spot, in that low spot, He will reach down and pick me back up and attach me to Jesus. Next, I want to look at Jesus as the true vine. Now, Jesus starts out this passage and he identifies, I am the true vine. Now, why would he identify as the true vine? Well, I think in today's culture, that speaks a lot to us because there are all sorts of different religions that are out there. And right now, our culture is very much like, there's a lot of different ways that you can get to heaven. And they're all basically just one God. And it doesn't matter which God you serve, as long as you have some sort of faith. And God's going to take care of you regardless. Well, not every religion can be true. You can't have that. There either is truth or there's not. And Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. All these other religions are false. In fact, in the chapter before, Jesus' disciples were wondering about heaven, and they asked him, like, how are we able to get to heaven? And Jesus' response in John 14, verse 6, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through accepting Jesus. And Christianity is very unique in that way. With all other religions, with all other different thought processes in our world, you have to earn your way to a better place. What do I need to do so I can get to the heaven or this other place or this other world or whatever it is? Christianity is the only religion where Jesus did it all. Jesus paid the price. And we, our responsibility is to accept him and live for him. One of the other things that I love about Jesus identifying as a vine, and maybe some of you guys can relate to this, maybe some of you guys will be irritated with this, but it still is very true. I like to do bow hunting. And when I was first preparing the sermon, it was actually in the fall because I've done this a couple of times. And I'm sitting in the woods and I'm looking through the woods and I'm noticing that this woods is just full of vines. There's vines all over the place. In fact, my 18-foot ladder stand that I put up the year before, there had been two vines that had gone up every single rung all the way up to my seat. And I'm preparing this message, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, there isn't any place that those vines can't get. They can go anywhere. And Jesus is saying, I am the vine. There isn't any place in this world that Jesus cannot penetrate. He can go anywhere. Next, I want to talk about us. And so we are the branch that is supposed to be attached to the vine. Now, this is usually more difficult because it's personal. It's easy for us to be able to point fingers and to say, well, look at that person, or at least I'm not as bad as that person. But what we should be doing is saying, what do I need to do? How do I need to follow Jesus better? And before I dig in really deep into that, I told you that I chose the RSV version for this passage. And one of the reasons why I did that is because of the word abide. And I don't know if you realized exactly how many times that word abide is through that passage, but it's in there a lot. And the definition is to remain stable or to continue in a place. And so if I'm going to abide in Jesus, that means that that's an ongoing relationship. It's not just a one and done. It's not like, okay, I accepted Christ, now I can continue to go do whatever I want to do. It's a lifelong relationship that we're connected to. And so what does that look like? Like, what can abiding look like? Well, what we're doing here this morning can look like abiding. Singing praises to God can look like abiding. Spending time in prayer and quieting everything around us can be abiding. Opening up God's word can be abiding. And sometimes driving down the highway and listening to Caleb can be abiding. And continuing to spend time working on your relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this can be a struggle for me. Sometimes I struggle creating space in my life to be able to spend time listening to God. And sometimes the busyness of the day or the demands that I have take priority, or the things that I want to do take priority. But there's still a lot of importance in abiding every day. In verse 8, it talks about if we don't abide. And so, if we're not attached to the vine, we're not attached to Jesus, what does that look like? My wife went and got some grapes for me just a couple of days ago. We took the fruit off of this stem. It's like 3 days ago. It's already dry. There isn't life in it. It's brittle. There's no fruit. And what verse 8 says, or verse 6, what it says is, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. This is convicting for me. And what Jesus is saying, I don't want my life to look like this stem. One of the other reasons why I love the definition of abide is that abide is an active verb. In the NIV, they translate it into remain, and that's not bad. That's not bad. But I just feel like abide just means there's that much more of an intimate relationship with Jesus. And so the question that I need to ask myself is that, is my relationship with Jesus as intimate as it needs to be? What else can I do so that I can be closer to the Father? I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of a mansion. And it's completely run down, right? Now, if you look at that, do you believe that anyone has lived in that mansion for a while? No. No one's lived in that mansion for a while. You can tell because it's run down and there's dirt and it just looks bad. But did anyone have to do anything to be able to get that mansion in that shape? All they had to do is not occupy it. No one had to say, we're going to take some dirt and throw it up here, and you know what, that brick, we're going to knock that down here. It just happened. No one had to do anything. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, for God bought you with a high price. So honor God with your body. If you do nothing with your relationship with Jesus, you're actually doing something. If you do nothing, that is actually something. And just like this abandoned home, we need to be proactive in our life to continue to grow closer to God. Now I want to show you the picture of the exact same mansion. Someone has come in. Someone has occupied it. Someone has cleaned it up. And it's just the same with us and our bodies. The Holy Spirit is able to come into us, can clean us up, and make us new. Which home, which mansion best represents your life today? Maybe there's areas or maybe there's rooms in your life that need to be cleaned up. Maybe for the most part, you're doing okay. But God wants all of you. He wants to absorb every single bit of you. Whether that's relationships, whether that's your job, whether that's your family situations, whatever. He wants everything. And why shouldn't he have that? Jesus didn't hold back anything. He gave up everything for us. If he gave up everything, is there anything that we should hold back for ourselves? I want to encourage you to, if there are some rooms that need to be cleaned, or maybe you look at that first one and you're like, man, that's my life. Talk to someone. At least spend time in the Bible and work on that relationship with Jesus. I want to kind of come back to the branch with us. Now in verse 2 it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And so, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, when I read that, and I got a couple of apple trees in my backyard, and you know what I do is I have to prune those trees. If you're going to take care of a tree, if you're going to take care of anything that produces fruit, the best way we do that is to prune it, which is basically cutting off branches, all right, and trimming things. Now, if you put yourself in the position of the tree, do you think that tree is going to be like, oh, great, there goes a branch? Right? For that tree, that doesn't sound like a very fun thing. But that's what God does in our life. He is willing to come as that perfect vine dresser and figure out what areas need to be pruned. And he will go in and he will snip what needs to be snipped. And sometimes it can be hard. And sometimes it can be painful. But we serve a perfect vine dresser who knows exactly what to do. And why does he do that? The same way why we do it to our trees. It's because if you prune it well, it will produce more fruit. This is a full grape stem. With huge round grapes. Not a grape's been plucked off this vine yet. The vine is still green. And what's really cool is that I've done a snippet of this message with kids. And when I get to the point and I pull out this vine, the kids look at it and immediately, because they're not in church immediately like, give me one. I want one. Give me a grape. But when you look at that, it's like, if your life is producing fruit, isn't that how people around you should be responding? What do you have? What makes you different? I want what you have. And we can produce fruit for the kingdom of God. This is what I'd like my life to look like. Like this vine right here. So what counts as fruit? Well, it's really nice because the Bible lays it out perfectly for us. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces is love, joy, and peace. It is being patient, kind, and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. There is no law against these kinds or against things of that kind. I don't think it's a coincidence that love is the first fruit that is put out for us to see. In fact, in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And in Matthew 22, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if our life is full of that fruit, what can be some of the results of that? And so I wanted to give you an example of the life book. And the life book, I don't know if there's any Gideons that are here or not, but if you're a Gideon, you'll recognize this book, because this book, the Gideons hand out. And it's the Gospel of John. However, one of the cool things about this book is they actually have people that write in this book their impressions of what they're reading right now. And most of the people that are writing it aren't followers of Jesus. And so you get different comments that are in there that are just like, wow, I never even thought about it that way growing up in the church. But you're able to get a fresh perspective. And so when I was preparing this message, I went and I read this passage in the life book. And there was a comment, and they just identify this person as D. But he wrote a comment in here that I want to read to you. It says, so, if fruit is the good stuff for God and people, then that proves a person is a believer in Jesus. If that's true, then believing in Jesus seems to be a bit more than just saying you believe. You must have to really believe in a way that changes your life. I like that much better than just saying, yeah, okay, sure, I believe. And then nothing changes. Not sure that I'm ready to go there yet. But I'd rather something like this totally change everything about me than just be something I say. D is not a follower of Jesus. In fact, he says in there, I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to accept this whole Christianity thing. But when he's reading this passage, he says, so there is a difference. There is a difference between just saying that I'm a Christian and actually putting it into action and producing fruit with my life. In verse 12, it says this, and you can go to the next slide. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. So how do we love in the same way that Jesus loves us? Because I think that that's hard. I think we have an easy time loving those who love us or loving those who have very similar social standards as we do or have a lot of commonalities. But how do we love the way that Jesus actually loves? And so I thought of a number of examples. I wanted just to share one. And I don't know if I've shared this story with you guys before in this church, but I'm going to share it again. But when I was doing the high school ministry at the youth center, we would share the gospel on a regular basis. And it was February, and we were talking about relationships and what that meant to have relationships. And so we went through just what it meant to have healthy relationships with friends, what it meant to have healthy relationships with family, what it meant to have healthy relationships with other people that you come in contact with. But in the fourth week, we talked about what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And so I'm up on the stage and I'm looking at the kids, and I say, you know, the best relationship that you can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this gal in the front row gave me an obscene gesture. I didn't address it at the time. But we circled back on Saturday. She had to come in and serve some community service hours with us. And so I looked at her and I said, hey, when I was talking about my relationship with Jesus, I noticed that you gave me a gesture that wasn't the most kind. It was a little more blunt than that. But I said, why? She goes, I don't want to talk about God. That's fine. We don't have to talk about God. Let's go into the gym. We'll figure out your community service hours. And so we walked into the gym and started working on some rope lights. And she goes, I don't understand why God does this. And in my mind, I'm like, I thought you didn't want to talk about God. All right? And so I answered her questions. And she goes, but why does God do this? And I answered that question, and she's like, but I don't understand this. And the more she asked questions, and the more I answered questions, the more frustrated she got. And finally, she looked at me, and she goes, Scott, why do you care? Why do you care for me? You were sharing your faith with me, and I disrespected you in a big way. And yet you're still caring for me. Why? And I looked at her and I said, the reason why I love you is not because you're being loving to me. The reason why I love you is because Jesus loved me. He loved me so much he died on the cross for me. He gave up everything for me. And because he did that for me, I'm going to love you with that same love, regardless if I get anything back in return. And even if you disrespect me and my God, I will still love you. It's not easy to love the way that Jesus loves us. It's hard when we're being disrespected. When people are cutting us down, when our faith is getting insulted, when we feel like we're cheated, that's hard. But we love because Jesus loves us, not because people are loving. In verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." My prayer for you is that Trinity Reformed Church bears much fruit. We recognize that we live in a dark world. I mean, just in the last 48 hours, there's been two massive shootings. There are people who are doing all sorts of things that aren't even close to Jesus. People are leaving the church. Our responsibility as followers is to make sure that our lives produce fruit. And sometimes it's just a matter of planting a seed. And you don't know what that's going to do. But I know that we need to bear fruit. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you how you just lay things out for us and just continue to work in our lives. Lord, I'm so grateful that we serve a God who's this perfect vine dresser that has this relationship with us, can meet us where we're at, can love us so well and so perfectly. Lord, help us when our lives are going through pruning processes. Sometimes we try to fight that. But Lord, you want us to produce more fruit. And so sometimes you cut that out so that we can produce more fruit for you. Lord, thank you that Jesus is the true vine, that we know what truth is. But Lord, help us to take our lives and align them with you. Help us not to just fit you in where it's convenient, but submit to you and your lordship. Lord, you didn't hold anything back. Your Son gave everything. Lord, we are so grateful for that. And because of that gratitude, because of that grace, help us to produce fruit for you. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow, thank you, Scott, for loving us enough to come and share that message with us.